Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Erev and Daf Tes Zayin. We are holding on Daf Tes Vav Amud Beis. We are a few lines after the Mishnah at Tanan. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored by Rabbi Meir Bruckheimer in honor of the wedding of his granddaughter Margalit Silver and Matan Goldman. Mazel tov to the parents, Leah and Yitzi Silver and Stacy and Amir Goldman, and in appreciation of the Daf Yomi Shir. And it's also sponsored by Sarah and Daniel Cooper, Li'il Nishmas, Daniel's grandfather, Zelig Ben Gershon Olav Shalom is yours today, and Shama should have an aliyah. Thank you all very much for the sponsorship. So we are holding again, as we said, on Daf Tes Vav Amud Beis. We are at Tanan, and the first discussion and the major discussion of today's daf that will take up the majority of the daf is what we left off with yesterday. Is we know that when it's parutz meruba ala omed, you have a problem with the mechitza. When there's more pirtza than there is omed, when it's omed meruba ala parutz, so then that's good. But what about when it's 50-50? What if it's exactly 50% parutz, 50% omed? So the Gemara, through the entire Amud Aleph and going over to Amud Beis, we're going to bring five rayas whether parutz ke-omed is okay or not. We had a machlokas about it yesterday. We're going to try to bring rayas how we paskin in that regard, and then the Gemara is going to finally come to a maskana lehalacha. Then the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to discuss other types of mechitza solutions for a shayara. If you have a caravan of people that need to make some sort of makeshift mechitza, so what types of solutions are available to them? We're going to talk about the possibility of using only vertical poles to create a mechitza, or only horizontal poles to create a mechitza. And then the Gemara is going to raise a shayla of Rav Hamnuna, but we're not going to be exactly sure what that shayla is. So we're going to have a couple of different possibilities of what exactly Rav Hamnuna's shayla was really all about. I think three different possibilities of what his shayla was really all about. And then at the end we'll discuss a few more issues relating to mechitzos of vertical or horizontal poles. So let's begin again. We're at Tanan. So we just learned through that there is this machlokas whether parutz ke'omed is valid as a mechitza or it's invalid as a mechitza. So now we're going to bring rayas. So Tanan, we have our Mishnah. The Mishnah said v'lo yepirtzos yiseros al binyan, that the thing that you can't have is more pirtza than binyan. But the diuk is haki binyan mutter. If the pirtzas and the binyan match each other, they're exactly the same, then it's going to be mutter. So don't you see that that follows the sheet of Rav Papa against Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua? Says Mara lo tema haki binyan mutter. That's not the right diuk to make, that if it were 50-50 it would be mutter. Ela ema im binyan yaser ala pirtza mutter. No, the diuk to make is if it were the reverse, it would be mutter. If there was more binyan than pirtza, it would be mutter. Aval kib binyan mai. What would the halacha be if it were kib binyan? Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua would tell you, aser. Ihachi listen lo ye pirtza's kib binyan. Well then, why doesn't it just say in the Mishnah that lo ye pirtza's kib binyan? And we would learn from that if the parutz is meruba la'omed, of course that would be possible. So from the fact that it just says it's a problem to have pirtza's yiseros ala binyan, we learn that that's the only way it's going to be possible, and if it's 50-50, it's going to be kosher. So Rav Papa is correct, and it's a raya against Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua. So says Mar Kasha, Eino Chinami, that is a strong kasha on the shita of Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua, and it seems that Rav Papa's shita is more correct. Now we know that whenever we use the term kasha, it's different than using the term tiyufta. Tiyufta means that this source is clearly against the shita that we're quoting, whereas kasha means, nah, the source is not necessarily against the shita. There's a way to answer it up. So the Ritva writes over here that the reason the Gemara uses the word kasha and not the word tiyufta, which would seem to be the more appropriate word over here, because it seems like a pretty strong question, is because it's impossible to say that Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua was a toa bidvar Mishnah, that he simply was unaware of our Mishnah. You have to say that he learned our Mishnah, that he thought that the Tana of the Mishnah was not being exactly precise in the way he formulated things. And he really meant to say that you're not supposed to make mechitzos that would be considered ki'ilu it was part of its meruba ala omed. But he wasn't saying that only when it's actually part of its meruba ala omed it's problematic. Even if it's 50-50, it's ki'ilu it's part of its meruba ala omed. And that's how he would touch up the Mishnah, because there's no way that Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua was simply unaware of the Mishnah. So that's why it's kasha, it's difficult, but it's not necessarily a tiyufta against Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua, and that leads the Gemara to go bring another raya to Shitas Rav Papa against Rav Huna Ben Rav Yeshua. Tashma, we have a Mishnah Maseches Sukkah that talks about schach hamakaris ukaso b'shvudin. If a person uses shvudin, which are a spit that they would roast meat on, so the Rambam writes in Pirush Mishnayis that it must be talking about shvudin shal mateches. It must be that these are metal spits that they would roast meat on, and that's why we're assuming they're possible to use for sukkah and they're possible to use for schach. The Tiferes Yisrael and the Mishnayis says, no, can you be talking about shvudin shal eitz? Because even though they're pshutei kliyets and they're not makabel tuma, but sometimes a person is somech yado al shvud, he leans his hand on the shvud while he's roasting, and therefore it's considered misham sheyadam, which are makabel tuma on account of them being misham sheyadam, of something that supports a person, that helps a person in the things that he does. So we would give it the status of kelim. So for whatever reason, shvudim are pasul ischach. As far as we're concerned, that's all that matters. Oba rukos amita, or he takes bedposts that are also pasul ischach. So you can't use pasul ischach, obviously, but im yesh revach b'nei and kamosan, if you leave the amount of space that they take up in between them as well, you leave empty space in between them, that the same amount of space is the amount of space that the shvudin and the bedposts take up, and then you fill that space with schach, ksheira, then the sukkah is going to be kosher, because you don't have pasul meruba ala kosher. So you see from the Mishnah that you don't need the schach to be the schach kosher to outnumber the schach pasul, you only need it to be 50-50. So that's a raya to shita shraf papa, that paritz ke omeid is good enough. You don't need omeid meruba ala paritz like Rav Huna Ben Rav Yeshua would tell you. Now the Ritva raises the question, what does schach have to do with mechitzos? Over there we're talking about that the entire sukkah is mesuchechad, meaning it's covered. It's just that half of it is with schach kasher, half of it is with schach pasul. Over here we're talking about parutz. There's no din of parutz over there. There's nothing that's open over there. By the sukkah we're talking about where it's entirely covered. It's just half of what it's covered with is schach pasul. So the Ritva writes, yeah, but it's the same basic idea that according to the shita that parutz ka'omer is pasul, the reason is because hachi agmrei rachman alamosha gedor ruba, that the halach l'moshe m'sinai was that you have to make a geder on the majority and not on the minority and not even on 50-50. So by sukkah as well, it could be that we're working with the assumption that the din of schach kasher is that they have to be mesakech ruba, that it needs to be rov schach kasher. Now in general, schach also follows dine mechitza. If you learn through mesecha sukkah, you find that there are dine mechitza in the walls of the sukkah, and schach has two dinim. It has dinim of mechitza and it has special dinim of schach that are unique to the mechitza of schach. But over here, we need to say more than that, not just that it's a mechitza, because midine mechitza, of course it's a mechitza when it's entirely covered. But we're saying that if the halach l'moshe m'sinai of mechitzin is that you need gedor ruba, so it's mistaver that the halach l'moshe m'sinai will be that the halach of schach is that you need rov sikuch. So says Gemara, isn't that a raya? Says Gemara, no. Hachmei skinan kishenichnas v'yotzei. Maybe we're talking about a case where it's not exactly 50-50. Between the roasting spits and the bedpost, you left enough space in between them to fit equivalent size items in and out, so that you could put them in and take them out, which means you have a little bit of wiggle room. If you have a little bit of wiggle room, it means that it's not really 50% covered with the pasul eschach, it's 49% covered with the pasul eschach. And when you then fill in all the intervening spaces with kasher eschach, so then it's going to be rov kasher eschach. So the Gemara thought that what the answer means is, since you don't leave exactly the same amount of space between one shvud and the other, so you have to say that when it says im yesh revach b'neim kamosam, it doesn't mean betzimtzum, it means nichnas v'yotzei. So says Gemara, v'ef shalitzam same. But isn't it possible for a person to make the space in between each shvud exactly the same as the size of the shvud? So how can you be mefarish the Mishnah when it says kamosan, that it means that it's not precise? So am Rabbi Ami b'madif. Rabbi Ami says it's possible, yeah, to make it exactly 50-50, but the Mishnah is simply not talking about that case. We're talking about a case where a person was not trying to be mitzamtein. He was trying to leave enough space in between where there is some wiggle room if he wanted to fit more in between. Rava amar mayin asum nerev nesanu shi no snow erev. That then no, the case is that if the schach pasul is running lengthwise, the schach kasher will run widthwise. So the schach kasher overlaps on the schach pasul. And if it overlaps on the schach pasul, then it turns out that you have more schach kasher than you have schach pasul. So that was raya number two. Now the Gemara tries to bring a raya to Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua that parutz kol mei d'zaser. Now we're going to bring a raya on the flip side. So tashma, let's see raya number three. We have a braisa. Shiara shechantza bebika. Let's say you have a caravan of people that goes and rests for Shabbos in a bika, in an open area, in a wide open area. So they need to create some makeshift mechitzos so that they can carry on Shabbos. So v'kifur b'gemalin b'ukafos. They surround themselves with whatever they've got. They use camels. They use the ukafos, the saddles that are on the backs of the camels. Ba'avitin. They put the saddle cloths. B'shlifin, the burdens. B'kanim, b'kolchos, the reeds or any other vegetables that they have, whatever they can do to make a makeshift mechitza, they just surround themselves with whatever they've got. So metaltlin betochel, b'lachleib ben gamel gamel, kamlo gamel. You're allowed to carry within those mechitzos as long as you don't leave between each camel the amount of space that another camel would take up. Benukov lukov, kamlo ukov, benavadavit, kamlo avit. Whatever they're using as the makeshift mechitza, you're not allowed to leave the amount of space that equals the size of the makeshift mechitza. So you see from the Braisa that it's not enough that the Omed is the same shear as the Parutz, then because if that were the case, the Mechitza would be kosher, even if there's Ben Gamal a Gamal, Kirochav a Gamal. Apparently you need Omed Meruba a la Parutz, like Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua. Over here also, you have to say that it's not exactly 50-50. They're leaving some wiggle room, and therefore, since they're leaving some wiggle room, if there's more wiggle room than there is if there's more space in between than there is mechitza itself, that's what's going to be possible. So it's not necessarily a raya. So tashma raya number four, and this is going to be the lengthiest of all the discussions. So this raya brings a braisa that has three different statements, and we're going to have to try to reconcile the statements with each other, figure out what the braisa is telling us, and figure out if this braisa is a tiyufta on Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua, a tiyufta on Rav Papa, somehow a tiyufta on both. So tashma. So the braisa talks about it's a tosefta in Maseches Klayim. Maseches Klayim is relevant over here is because you have dine mechitzos when it comes to klayim as well. The Torah doesn't allow you to plant two different types of zra'im together. That's called kilei zra'im, and you're also not allowed to plant zra'im next to gefanim. That's called kilei akerem. But if you don't plant zra'im inside of a kerem mamish, so then you only need to do one of two things in order to allow you to plant zra'im next to a kerem. Either you distance it six tfachim so that they're not yonek one from the other, or you make a geder in between them. You make a fence in between them, so it's not going to be a violation of Maris Ha'ayin. So in such a case, it's mutter, even if they are yonik from each other. But in order for the geder to work in between them, you have to have a shem mechitza. It has to be a mechitza that's a halachic mechitza. So the Bryce is going to talk about what kind of mechitza works as far as klayim is concerned, and what type of mechitza does not work. But since it's all about dine mechitza, we can easily transfer the halachos of klayim over to the halachos that we have over here. So nimtzei satomer shalosh midos b'mechitzos. There are three halachos between about mechitzos that are chotzitz between zra'im and gefanim in order that it shouldn't be a problem of klayim. The first type of mechitza is kol shu pachos mishlosha, and three different sets of halachos. So the first halacha is kol shu pachos mishlosha. Whenever you're using rods that are less than three tefachim wide, so tzarek shlo yeh ben zeh lezeh shlosha. You have to make sure that the space in between them is less than three tefachim, so that a small animal won't be able to just go right through easily, right through the rods. Meaning, for they're more than three tefachim apart from each other, a small animal can get right through, and that therefore is not a valid mechitza. So, if you're using very tiny rods, very narrow rods, just make sure that they're tightly spaced and that there isn't three tefachim of space in between them. The Ritva points out that lechora the Braisa could have said a better reason for that you can't have more than three tzvachim. What who cares? He's Dr. Gedi Bebas Rosh, that an animal is not going to get through. Forget, we're talking about Dina Mechitz over here. You have the Din of Lavud, so why not just say Lavud, that it's that it would run afoul of Lavud, and that would therefore ruin the mechitza. So the Ritva suggests that the Bryce is trying to tell us that the reason that we don't say lavud when there's a revach of three tefachim or more, the reason the shear of lavud is dafka three tefachim is because it's yidakir gedi bebas rosh, meaning that the basis of the shear of lavud is a logical basis, not just pure halacha l'moshe misinai with no rhyme or reason. It's because it's an ineffective barrier if you don't have lavud, if you have more than three tefachim in between, because the yidakir, because an animal can get right through it. So that's halacha number one. So if you need to have lavud if you're using very narrow poles. But what if you use poles that are kolshu shlosha, or mishlosha ve'adarba'a, you have three tefach or anything between three and four tefach posts, so tzarek shleya ben zelizah kimiluo, then you're allowed to have more than three tefachim in between them, you just can't have the space in between them that equals the space that the posts themselves take up. Kedei shelo yehei parot ki'omed, you just need to make sure that you don't have as much pirtza as you have omed, so you can have more than three tefachim of pirtza, but you can't have an equal amount of pirtza in omed. V'mayu parutz meruba l'omed af keneged omed aser, and if you have more parutz than you have omed, then even that which is across from the omed is aser. You're not allowed to carry in there at all. You have no mechitzas at all if you have more pirtza than omed, and even the omed is less than four tefachim, even though the posts themselves are less than four tefachim. So kol shu, so that's case number two. Kol shu arba'a umearba'a ad eser amos, and if you have something that's four tefachim or larger up until 10 amos, tzarek shlo yeh ben zelazek kimiluo shlo yeh parutz keomed, then you just have to make sure that the gaps are not as large as the walls that are built, because then so it shouldn't have as much pirtza as omed. V'imhaya parutz keomed, and if there's as much parutz as there is omed, so keneged omed mutter, keneged parutz aser, then you will be able to carry keneged omed, what's across from the omed, because the omed itself is its own mechitza. Once it's larger than four tefachim, so it's surrounding an area that is makom chashuv. So since it's its own mechitza, you can carry what's across from the omed in this case. You just can't carry what's across from the parutz, because you have a parutz meruba l'omed, so the mechitza doesn't continue on to the next piece of post that comes after it. So those are the three basic rules of mechitza that appear in the brisa. So the brisa just adds other halachas that relate to mechitza. V'imayu omed meruba l'parutz af keneged ha'parutz mutter. If you have more omed than you have parutz, then the whole area is mutter, meaning you're allowed to have entrance ways within the mechitza, so you can have an area surrounded by mechitzas that has some parutz, but as long as the omed is meruba l'parutz, that's going to be put mutter. Nifritz of yoser me'aser aser. If there's a pirtz that's more than 10 amos, then it's going to be aser, because then it doesn't have a din of a pesach, like we learned in the very first sugya of this mesechta. So it's going to aser the entire mechitza. Hayusham kanim ador kanim. If you have two rods, also then peyah milamayla, I feel peyah milamayla, I feel be yoser me'aser mutter. Then you can make another rod that goes over the top and make yourself a tzuras ha-pesach, and then even if it's more than 10 amos, that's going to be mutter. So if you have a more than 10 amos opening, all is not lost. You can make a tzuras ha-pesach over that opening, and that's going to be mutter. So the Gemara is medayik, katani mias reisha. So now let's go back to make our diuk. Again, we're bringing this entire brisa to try to prove one way or the other in machlokes Rav Papa and Rav Yeshua, what if it's exactly 50-50 parutz ki'omed? So katani mias reisha, it says in the reisha of the brisa that if the entire omer of the mechitza is mishlosh v'yad arba, from 3 to 4 tefachim, then it's kasher, ubilvad shlo yeh bein zeh lezeh kimiluo, as long as the area in between is not the same as the area of the fence. If it's kimlo rochav omud, that is exactly kippah, the parts is ki'omed, then it's going to be apostle. So that's exactly like Rav Huna ben Rav Shua. So it's yuftah de Rav Papa, that's a problem for Rav Papa. So amr lach Rav Papa, my miluo nichnas v'yotzeh. So Rav Papa will give the same answer we said before. Nah, miluo doesn't mean that you have exactly the same amount. It means you leave a little more open than you have built, and that's why it's going to be a problem. And Hachinam Mstavri says, I'll tell you that the brisa must be read that way, that if it were 50-50, it would be kosher, and that only if it's a little bit more that's open, that it's going to be possible, because midiktani yim hayapart, it's meruba la omeid, af kenegada omeid aser, because the brisa continues and says the words, words, if the parutz is meruba ala omeid, you have a problem. Hake omeid mutter. So the diuk of that line is clearly that if it was exactly the same, it would be mutter. So shma mina, so says Rav Papa, don't you see I'm right from the very next words of the Braisa? So says Gemara, taka, good point. That line of the Braisa seems to flip the question around on Rav Huna ben Rav Shua. It says that parutz meruba is a problem. Sounds like if it's 50-50, it's fine. So Amalaf, so Rav Huna ben Rav Shua could answer, L'taymeich, ima seifa. Yeah, but then I read weiter in the Braisa, and the seifa says, ima yomein meruba ala parutz af keneged ha parutz mutter. That if it was omein meruba ala parutz, then the whole thing is mutter, even that which is across from the parutz. Hakir parutz, aser. You're going to make the same diuk, then it's going to turn out that if it's 50-50, it's aser. So that supports me, says Rav Huna ben Rav Shua. So seifa kasha on the Rav Papa. The end of the Braisa is a kasha on Rav Papa, because it sounds like parutz ke omeid is going to be kasher, and reisha kasher on Rav Huna ben Rav Shua. The reisha is a problem for Rav Huna ben Rav Shua, because it sounds like it's saying that parutz ke omeid is mutter, and Rav Huna ben Rav Shua says that it's not. So seifa the Rav Papa lo kasha. So says Mary, no, you can't ask a Rav Papa from the seifa, because the seifa, you're right, uses a lashon that implies that only omeid meruba la parutz is mutter, but 50-50 is a problem. But I did to tana resha parutz meruba la omeid, since the resha already used the term parutz meruba la omeid to describe what is problematic, and the resha was being very meduyak, says Rav Papa, that if it's 50-50 it would be fine. So tana seifa omeid meruba la parutz. So the seifa uses, to be consistent, uses similar language. So it talks about the flip side. It talks about where it's omeid meruba ala parutz, but resha the Rav Huna ben Rav Shua lo kasha, and Rav Huna ben Rav Shua can answer the resha in a very similar way. That I did by the Mr. Seifa, since we want to have a very meduyak Seifa, where it says omeid meruba ala parutz is going to be mutter, so tana resha parutz meruba ala omeid. So the resha speaks in similar terminology. It would turn out what they're really arguing about is what is more likely, that a brisa is going to make the resha conform to a lashon that we want to have in a Seifa, or make a Seifa conform to a lashon that you're trying to express in the resha. So Bishlam, the Rav Papa says, well, according to Rav Papa, I understand the order of dinim in the Braisa. Mishamachi lo arav luvat v'tanilu. That's why the Braisa doesn't mention a mechitza that's less than three tefachim together with a mechitza that is three tefachim, and just say that any time it's three tefachim or less, that you can't have a three tefachim of space in between them, because that would in fact not be the din. Because if each board is less than three tefachim, you can't have three tefachim of space in between them, because then it won't be loved anymore. But if you have omeid of exactly three tefachim, you can have three tefachim of space in between them, because even though it's not loved, it's parutz ka'omeid, and he holds parutz ka'omeid, Rav Papa holds parutz ka'omeid is mutter. So I understand why you don't want to put those two halachas together of exactly three tefachim and less than three tefachim, because they're different. Less than three tefachim of wall, if you have exactly three tefachim of space in between them, you have a problem. But if you have exactly three tefachim of wall, and then exactly three tefachim of space in between them, you're going to be fine. It's not going to be a problem. Elder Rav Huna ben Rav Yeshua, but according to Rav Huna ben Rav Shua, why not just mix put both of those halachas together? Because according to Rav Huna ben Rav Shua, even when you have exactly the same amount of parutz as you have omeid, you have a problem. So kol shu paksim mishlosha vishlosha tzarek shleib ben zelizah shlosha. Why doesn't it say that three tefachim exactly of wall or less cannot have exactly three tefachim of space in between them? So that's a kasher Rav Huna ben Rav Shua. So says Gemara, no, mishum delo dam. The reason we don't put those together is because you're right, Rav Huna ben Rav Shua would say, you're right that if you have exactly three tefachim of space in between, it's going to be possible whether you have exactly three tefachim of wall or whether you have less than three tefachim of wall, but it's going to be possible for different reasons. The problem with the case of less than three tefachim of wall with exactly three tefachim of space is simply that it's not lavud, that a gedi is going to be able to just get right through. Psul of the Seifa, Shleim Parutz Ka'omeid. The Psul of the Seifa is not a Lavud problem, because it's a problem of Parutz Ka'omeid. You wouldn't have a Lavud problem anymore if it were only that it was Parutz Meruba ala Omeid. So since the cause of the Psul, the basis of the Psul is different, that's why the Braisa formulates it as two separate halachos, formulates these two dinim in two separate halachos. Now the Gemara is going to ask a stira within the Braisa itself. In order to understand again, the kasha, it's important to remember, we had a machlokas Rav Shimon Gamliel and the Chacham about the din of Lavud itself. According to Rav Shimon Gamliel, 4 tfachim is the din of Lavud. Anything that's less than 4 tfachim, we assume is closed off. According to the Chachamim, Lavud is only when it's pachos mishlosh tfachim. So the Gemara assumes that machlokas has ramifications in another issue as well. And that is, what is the proper amount of width that you need of a mechitza in order to be matir, planting klayim on each side of the mechitza? When the parutz is meruba, when there's more parutz than there is omed. According to Rav Shimon Gamliel, just like the avir that's less than 4 tvachim is not considered avir and it's considered to be closed off, so too a mechitza that's less than 4 tvachim would not be chashuv enough mechitza to be matir, planting klayim, planting two different things on each side of it. Whereas according to the Chachamim, just like avir of shlosha tvachim has chashivus, anything more than 3 tvachim has chashivus, in that it's not considered to be sasim anymore, so a mechitza of shlosha tvachim would have enough chashivus to be matir, planting klayim, planting zroim on each side. That's the assumption that we're making, that even though their machlokas was stated legabe lavud, we're assuming their machlokas is going to carry over to what counts as a mechitza when it comes to klayim. Now, based on that assumption, the Gemara asks the following. Pachos mishlosha, we said that if you have less than 3 tfachim, if you have less than 3 tfachim of each rod that you're using to make a wall, so as long as you have less than 3 tfachim of airspace in between them, it's a perfectly kosher mechitza. So money, who is that assuming like? Rabbanani, da'amri pachos mishlosha, amri nilavud. That must be assuming like the shita of the Rabbanan, that less than 3 tfachim is considered to be closed off, and that's why we use the number 3 tfachim, that you can't have more than 3 tfachim of airspace in between them. But shlosha, amri nilavud, once you have 3 tfachim or more, we're no longer going to say lavud. So that's following the sheet of the Rabbanan. But then, Ema Seifa, the Brisa goes on to say, Kol shu shlosha mishlosha v'yadar ba'a, that if it's the posts that you're using, the boards that you're using, are somewhere between 3 and 4 tfachim, then you just can't have in between them the amount of space that equals the size of the post that you're using. Mechitza and if it's part of Meruba al-Omeid, even Kenegar al-Omeid is going to be Yasser. Meaning a mechitza that's less than 4 tfachim wide is not chashuv in its own right, and if the parutz outnumbers it, you're not even allowed to plant directly across from where the mechitza is. So I saw the Rav Shimon Gamliel to Amar Pachos Mi Arba Lavud. Wow, that seems to assume like the Rav Shimon Gamliel who says 4 tvachim is the magic number, because again, that second halacha tells us that if your posts are less than 4 tvachim, you're not even allowed to plant on the other side of the post when it's parutz meruba al omid. Well, why not? Why not just take this post that's 4 tvachim and say it's its own wall? If it's 3.8 tfachim, if it's more than 3 tfachim, somewhere between 3 and 4, it's its own wall. So apparently we're assuming like the Rabbanan that who say that lavud is up until 4 tfachim, and therefore it's also not a mechitza when it's pachos midal tfachim. Di Rabbanan mishlosha d'arba'a shlosha v'arba'a chadu. Because if you're going to assume that the seif is going like the shita of chamim, that we say the din of lavud only when it's less than 3 tfachim, how could the Brisa say that there's the same din applies from anywhere between 3 and 4 tfachim and shoshva arba chadu? They have one din. They, you can't be mechalik between a mechitza that's less than 3 tfachim and a mechitza that is 3 tfachim. So it's a stira in the Brisa. The Reisha sounds like it's going like chum. The Seifa sounds like it's going like Rishum Gamliel. Some rabbi mid the Reish Rabbanan Seifa nami Rabbanan. No, really, the whole thing's going like the Rabbanan. Umod Rabbanan, they call the Mishra Kenegdo. And the Rabban will be moda that even though 3 tfachim is the magic number for lavud, the magic number for a mechitza is 4 tfachim. Meaning the assumption that we made at the beginning is an incorrect assumption. Just because you have a machlokas about lavud, about how much airspace is considered lavud, the same machlokas does not necessarily apply as far as how much of a measurement of a mechitza is considered its own substantial mechitza. Rava Amar, a different answer. Me the sefer Rav Shimon Gamliel Reish Nami Rav Shimon Gamliel, that really the entire thing is going like Rav Shmuel Gamliel. V'chiyam Rav Shmuel Gamliel amrin lavud hani mili lemaila. When does Rav Shmuel Gamliel say that you have up until four tefachim of lavud? That's if the gap, if the open space is in a high place, like by the korah that's over a mavoy. That's where we allow up until four tefachim for lavud. Avalamata. But if you're talking on the ground level, havelikim chitzur shagdim bogim bavlo amrin lavud. The rabbanon would hold that there is such a din of chitzur shagdim bogim ba that lavud is not going to apply when you're talking about a fence that's so easily penetrable that an animal could just walk right through it. So if you're talking on the ground level, then in a chinami, they're going to be moda that the din of lavud is three tefachim. There is a machlokas rishonim what Rava means to say over here. Does he agree to Abaye's teretz that according to the chamim, a mechitza is only going to be chashuv to be matir planting klayim on either side when it's four tefachim? He's just being mosif that you could even say the whole brisa is going from Shum Gamliel, or does he disagree with Abaye and think that the equation that we assumed, that if you have this machlokas about lavud, the same machlokas is going to apply to dine mechitza? Does Rava accept that premise? Rava doesn't agree with Abaye, who rejected that premise. So that's a machlokas we showed him how to understand what motivated Rava to give his own answer. So Tashma, now the Gemara says a fifth and final raya in this machlokas about Paritz Ka'omed, when you have two equal things. So Tashma, Defanos Halalu, if you have these walls, Sharuban Psach Mechalonos, that are majority of openings, Mutter, that's fine, Blachi Omin Murubal Aparts, as long as it's a majority of wall and a minority of openings. So says Gemara, Sharuban Salkadaitach, what do you mean? How could you say they're talking two sides of your mouth at the same time? First you say that it's majority of openings, then you say that it's majority of wall. Ella Shariba Ben Psach Mechalonos Mutter. No, what he means to say is that there are many Psach Mechalonos, it's Mutter, Blachi Omin Murubal Aparts, as long as you have Omin Murubal Aparts. Oh, but the Diuk is Hakir Parutz Aser. If there was 50-50, it would be Aser. Tiyufta Drav Papa, isn't that a Tiyufta Drav Papa? So it says Gemara, Tiyufta, it is in fact a Tiyufta Drav Papa, but Vilksa Kavase Drav Papa. We pass on a Drav Papa anyway. Tiyufta Vilksa? How could that be? You're saying that you have a Bryce that's beferish against Drav Papa, and you're still going to pass like him? In Mishum Dedaika Masnis and Kavase. Remember the very first raya we brought in this whole sugya was that our Mishnah seemed to be a major support for Rav Papa, and we had a kasha on Rav Huna Ben Rav Yeshua, and the only reason we didn't answer the kasha was because we couldn't imagine that Rav Huna Ben Rav Yeshua was a toa b'dvar Mishnah, but our Mishnah much more supports Rav Papa than it does Rav Huna Ben Rav Yeshua. Ditnam lo yipitzer sal binyan hakib binyan mutter. So since we have a Mishnah that seems to support him, the fact that the Brice is a tiyufta on him is not necessarily going to be a problem lahalacha. So that's why we paskin like Rav Papa at the end of the day. The major kasha that all of the Rishonim deal with over here is that in our sugi we say that by mechitzas of Shabbos we paskin like Rav Papa that paritz ke'omed is mutter. Yet the sugi in Chulin daf chav tesamer aleph talks about shechting an animal, and the halacha is you have to shecht rov simanim. What if you shecht exactly chatzia simanim? So the Gemara over there comes to the maskana that mechza al mechza is not kirov, and it's in fact going to be usher. So that's a kasha that all of the Rishonim and the Achronim deal with over here. We're not going to go through all the answers, just mention one of them. Tosa Rosh quotes Rabbeinu Meir that Omeid is always more chashuv than that which is Parutz. So by Mechitza, where the Omeid is what serves as the Matir, so it's more chashuv, meaning 50-50 means that we're always going to view that which is still there intact as the more chashuv of the items, as the 51%, as the voting majority, so to speak. So if you have, if by mechitzos, by dini mechitzos, what you need is omeid. So to be matir, so 50% omeid, that's good enough. But by shchita, what you need is parutz to be matir. Omeid is a problem by shchita. You need to cut the majority. So if you have 50% cut and 50% not cut, we view the omeid as if it's the 51%, and that's why the shchita is going to be possible. That's how the Tosafot Rosh quotes from Rabbeinu Meir. Okay, new Mishnah. So again, you have a shayara, and they need to come up with some makeshift mechitza. So makif and shlosha chavalim, they could simply take three ropes, zelim alam izeh, zelim alam izeh, and run them horizontally, one on top of the other. and just space them to 2.9 tefachim apart from each other, less than 3 tefachim apart from each other, so they could use lavud v'shir chavalim, and the ropes themselves ovya and yeser al tefach, that together the straps that you're using should fill in more than a tefach, k'day she'ehei akol asar tefachim, so that when you add the gaps and the space that the straps take up, you'll end up with a 10 tefach lavud fence. So if you have like by a farm or something where you have those long posts, that those post fences, right? So as long as the posts, they usually are not, but as long as the posts are within 3 tefachim of each other, and you go to 10 tefachim of height, that's going to be perfectly fine for the shayara. Makifin bekanim, you're also allowed to take vertical posts and put them in the ground. As long as you don't have 3 tefachim of gap in between them. Beshayara dibru, this is only talking about all these heterim of having only vertical or only horizontal. That's all about a caravan, divrei Yehuda, but not for regular mechitzas. That's all about people who are traveling, so they need some makeshift mechitza. Mechitza grua would suffice for them. No, we only talk about a shayar because that's the most common case. But if it's a mechitza, it's a mechitza, and it's always a mechitza. Kol mechitza she'ena shal si v'shal erev, any mechitza that's not made of both vertical and horizontal posts, ena mechitza is a divrei Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda would hold is not a valid mechitza. And the Chum say, no, one or the other is good enough. We'll discuss in the Gemara what the Chum are really adding over here. They already said that. They already voiced their opinion that you can always have such a mechitza, but that's the machlokas. Amrav Amnun Amrav. Harei Amru, Sarav Amrav tells us the following. We had a Mishnah on Tesvav Ambeis. Omen Rubal Aparitz Bishsi. If you have a Havi Omen, that if you have an Omen Rubal Aparitz in one direction, that is considered to be a Kashra Mechitza, because we said that a Shayara that is in a Bika, and they take the clay behema, you're allowed to be to surround themselves with it, you're allowed to be metalto, as long as there's not Paritz Rubal Omen. So, by Rav Amnuna, Be'erev Mai. But what would be the Halacha if it were running side to side, if it were running horizontally? So what would be the Din? Do we say that the Chamra Mat is such a mechitza when it's Omen, you need Omen Rubal Aparitz? So between the height of 10 tefachim and the mechitza, there's 6 tefachim of Omen and only 4 tefachim of Paritz? Or do we not have such a requirement when it comes to a mechitza of Shsi? But when it comes to a mechitza of Erev, you need the height of a mechitza to be 10 full tefachim. So Amra Abaye Tashma. So he says, I'll bring a raya. Shir Chaval Va'ovyon Yeser Al Tefach, Shir that in total you only need on those post fences that the straps that you're running across equal together with the spaces in between them a full 10 tefachim, but the straps themselves may only be a little more than a tefach. But if there's such a din that by mechitzas erev you also need omen rubal paritz, lomeli yasrael tefach, why do you need the width of the ropes to be more than a tefach? They shouldn't need to be more than a tefach. You have to realize lavud means it's considered omen, that's not called paritz. Whenever you have lavud, that's considered as if there's actual wall there. So why do you need the straps to be a tefach? Here's a simpler etza. Liavud pachas mishlosh of the chevel mashu. Leave a gap from ground to the first strap, less than 3 tefachim, and then a chevel mashu, then the first strap, and that's all considered omeid up until that point. That's all considered closed. Then pachas mishlosh of a chevel mashu, another less than 3 tefachim and a strap, and then pachas me'arba of a chevel mashu, and then leave a space that's more than lavud, but then another chevel on top, and then it will turn out that you have 3 tvachim plus 3 tvachim of which is 6 tvachim of omeid, using lavud of omeid, and 4 tvachim of a gap, so it's omeid merubal aparitz, and that would be good enough as omeid merubal aparitz. So since the Mishnah does not say that, we see from here that the din of omeid merubal aparitz is only by a mechitza shel shesi, but a mechitza of erev needs to have omeid of 10 tvachim, of 10 full tvachim. That it's not enough to have omeid merubal aparitz. The din of omeid merubal aparitz doesn't apply. You need an actual wall. So says Mar of Tizbra, you think you could say that, you think that would have been a viable option of how to set up the fence, even if you can have omeid merubal aparitz, if omeid merubal aparitz would be good enough. Hypox me'arba heichem mokum la. Where are you going to put the less than 4 tefach gap, the gap that does not meet the lavud requirements? Im mokum la tatoi. If it's on the very bottom, it's from the ground to the first trap, havli kimechitz shagdim bokim, but then it's going to be problematic because the an animal could penetrate that mechitza just by crawling right under it. If you put it all the way on the top, then the airspace on either side of the top strap is going to be mvatel the mechitza. And if you're going to put it in the middle, havalei omin rubal aparts mishtei ruchos, then you're going to have a situation where yes, you have omin rubal aparts, but only when you combine two different sides of omid. You have the top section that's lavud, the bottom section that's lavud, and in combination they outnumber the middle section. Shamin omin rubal aparts mishtei ruchos havi omid, and then you'd be taking a stand on that issue and saying that even when a single omid is not rubal aparts, it's only in combination that's merubal aparts that counts. But we don't know, we don't paskin that it counts that way. So you can't bring a raya from our Mishnah to discuss what Rav Hamnuna's to answer Rav Hamnuna's shaila. So it says Marel Rav Hamnuna hachi kami baile. No. Here was Rav Hamnuna's real shaila. Kigon da'aiti machzelas tavi shivo mashu. You take a mat that's actually a height of 7 tfachim and change. V'chakak ba shlosha, and you hollow out in that mat a 3 tefach space. V'shavak ba arba'a, and you leave arba'a mashu, and you leave 4 tefach and change of actual mat there. V'ukme b'pachs mishlosha, and then you put it less than 3 tefachim off of the ground, so that the space between the mechitza and the karka is considered lavud. So now you have a mechitza of erev of omid merubal aparutz, because the top 4 tefachim are totally closed off. There's actual mat there. The bottom 3 tefachim are considered to be closed off because there's lavud. So b'sach hakol, you have an omid of 7 tefachim, and then you have the 3 tefachim of a gap in between. That's parutz. So that's what Rav Hamnuna was not sure about. Is such a mechitza kosher or not? So Rav Ashi Amar mechitza tluya b'yilei, that Rav Hamnuna was really, his real suffix was about a different issue. It was about a mechitza tliya, where you take a mat that's 10 tfachim of height, and you put it more than 3 tfachim off of the ground. So is that considered the omid merubal aparetz and mevatel, the open area on the ground? Or do we not say omid merubal aparetz in such a case? So k'dibay minei rav tavla merav, mechitza tliya ma'u shetat b'churba, because we had such a similar shayla already. Is a mechitza tliya enough to be matir in a churba? And when you have a dilapidated space, where it's likely that you have a mechitza that's hanging off of the ground, is that valid? So Rabbi Tavla answered, "Ein mechitza tliya materes ala b'mayim. We only allow for mechitza tliya when it's above water, when you're trying to pull something out of the ocean as you're on a boat. Kalu shekilu chacham b'mayim. That was a special kula that the chacham dafka have by mayim that we allow for mechitza tliya. So those are three versions of what exactly Rav Hamnuna was bothered by. Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the two dots and makivin bekanim, and we'll try to finish the parak. Hashem tomorrow.